Good morning, and welcome to the South Fayette Church of Christ. If you are visiting with us this morning, I want you to know from the bottom of our hearts here at the South Fayette Church of Christ that we're glad and we're happy that you're here. We're happy that you've decided to spend time with us in God's Word, in spirit, and in truth. And we hope that any time that you're able to come out to worship with us in spirit and truth, it is our prayer that you absolutely do just that. To the saints here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, it's so good to see your faces. I love you very much, and I'm so grateful and thankful for you all here at the South Fayette Church of Christ. Let us be mindful as we continue on as brothers and sisters on this time side of life to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Let our minds and our hearts be set on the things above and not of the things of this world. And how do we do that? By having a zeal for God's word. A desire to learn more about what he has to say on the matter. The other thing is for us to continue to love one another as Christ also loved us. And also having a mind and a desire to do God's work in his kingdom. And no matter what, through the ups and downs that we go through, know that I love you and there's nothing that you can do about it. I want for you to imagine, if you will, you just landed in a foreign country. You don't speak the language, and you don't know your way around. As a matter of fact, you don't know anyone there. And you feel lost. And you know without help, you know without guidance, that you will simply wander aimlessly around until there is someone who can be of service. Someone who can be a guide to set you on the right path, to keep you from wandering off and possibly getting lost for good. You know, as Christians, we are in a foreign country. This place is not our home. And the only way we can find or know our way is to have someone lead us. We need a shepherd. A guide. We need our holy God. How are you doing here in this foreign land? I want to ask you, how are you doing here in this foreign land? Do you always find yourself lost? Are we navigating through with the help of the shepherd or with the help of this world? There was a story of a famous entertainer. He was asked to recite the 23rd Psalm in a performance. Now, a large audience filled the building. It was a huge auditorium. And he said the 23rd Psalm, and after he finished, everyone gave him a generous round of applause. And after this, the old man was asked to present the same psalm. And when he finished, there was not a dry eye in that place. Everyone was touched by his devotion to the shepherd. The entertainer came back to continue the program. Before starting the program, he said this to the audience. I know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd. The title of my sermon this morning is The Lord is My Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, for most of us, when we think about the 23rd Psalm, most of us have heard it quite often. And typically, when we hear the 23rd Psalm, it's typically during what? A funeral. Somebody's dying. And I don't by any means believe that there's anything wrong with reading the 23rd Psalms in a funeral. But I would like for us this morning to look at it from a different perspective. I don't think this was a psalm that was written for you to be thinking about your last word and testament. This is what you say right before you enter into the pearly gates, before the you see the light. This is what you say. No, this is a living psalm. This is not about you dying or you're on your deathbed taking your last breath. This is a living and active word. So I want us to look at it from that perspective as we look at the Lord is my shepherd. How many of us know the psalm better than we know the shepherd? I think that's a good question we need to ask ourselves, because if we were to take a poll of this audience, I'm sure that most of us could recite Psalm 23. And it's probably the most read psalm of all because it brings comfort, right? It brings encouragement to all who read it. However, most people miss out on some of the deepest and the richest truths in this psalm. So I don't want to take too long. I just have 25 points that I want to cover this morning. So hopefully you are ready. But there will be quick, short points, all right? So let's get right into the truths. So the first one that I want to address is the relationship. The relationship. So it reads, 1 through 2, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He make me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." The Lord is my shepherd. Why is our relationship with God so important? Why is that, right? Why is it so important for us to have a relationship? Well, it's important because until we understand that as Christians, we are in a covenant relationship with the shepherd whom we shall trust at his very word. We understand that relationships put great emphasis on the relationship, especially on this time side of life when we have obeyed the gospel, right? But we also put great emphasis on relationships like husbands, wives, children, mothers, fathers, grandparents, and these alike, right? And we trust those who we have a relationship with. And there's nothing wrong with trusting in these relationships, right? Except often we find disappointments in these very relationships that we have. That's with marriages, that's with children, that's with friends, that's with family. We're often disappointed. Well, a relationship with God as the shepherd is different. And what I mean is, there is not a promise that he makes that will ever be broken, because it is impossible for him to lie. And so we don't find disappointments in the relationship of being connected with the shepherd, right? A shepherd represents a more close and intimate relationship. See, when we think of David, we tend to remember him as a king and a warrior, more or less than a shepherd. But in the psalm, it seems that he reflects more on his time as a shepherd and paints a picture of how God cares for our needs. Since the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? David wrote this psalm from a personal experience because he too was a shepherd. And I believe that David knew that he had received God's lavish care all his life. And God provided for him so well that he lacked nothing. David was satisfied, but all of this was because David knew the Lord. He had a relationship. David called the Lord my shepherd. He said this because he knew his shepherd well, and the Lord knew David too. So the question is, how well do we know the shepherd? How well do we have a relationship with the shepherd? In Luke chapter 15, looking at it, verse 4, the ESV version says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it?" It's so important for us to understand this relationship that we need to have. I want you to notice that in the psalm, it does not say, "I shall not need." Okay? So it doesn't mean that you won't have needs, right? But you shall not want. And what does that mean? Well, Jesus is making it clear that God is going to provide for all our physical needs, and we shouldn't even worry about that because we have a relationship. However, I'm not speaking about our desires, right? The word want today, in today's text, means to lack, to decrease, or to be empty or run dry. So when David says, "I shall not want," he's saying two things here, all right? He's saying, one, there are areas in my life that only God can fulfill, and he will fulfill them. That's one. Secondly, two, I've made the decision not to desire anything outside of the scope of what God wants for me, right? And because of this, he, me and him in this shepherd-sheep relationship, right, that I have, I'm satisfied with that. So a lot of people get in a relationship with God and they ain't satisfied. They say, well, I desire to have a relationship with this God. I desire to change. And when a change must happen, accountability comes about. They're not so excited about what the relationship requires. And so when you're in a relationship, there's accountability. There are expectations. And this relationship as being with the shepherd, right, you have to be comfortable in the fact that I don't desire to do anything outside of the scope of what my God desires for me to do, what he wants for me. See, a relationship puts us in a position of belonging, right? And so when you say you belong to God, right, then that means that we might get lonely, but we're never alone. We understand that we might go through some things, but we're not going through them alone. And David knew he belonged to the Lord. The good shepherd provided for all his needs, saints. God's provisions are certainly available to us, but only if the Lord is our shepherd. Now, one of the things that I looked at when I saw this, it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures, right? So what I see is that in this relationship, you won't have a lot of drama. You're going to get some rest. This is a peaceful relationship, right? Because he says he makes me lie down in green pastures. I can only imagine for a sheep, right? The best thing for them is to be able to lie down in green pastures and also eat. So what that means for us is that you get to eat without getting out of bed. Amen. 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 That's what that means, right? We get to eat. We get to rest without even having to get out of bed. So I know for some of us, that's the life, right? All I got to do is just stay in bed and eat. I don't even have to move. That's the kind of relationship and peace that we have. He makes us lie down. He gives us what we need in the midst of all the chaos that we can lay down. I don't have to warm for anything. I can rest. And he leaves me beside still waters. So David knew he belonged to the Lord, so the good shepherd provided all his needs. So the second thing that I want to look at this morning is restoration. Restoration. So he says in Psalms 23 and verse 3, he restores my soul, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So why do we need a shepherd to restore our soul? Why? Because it is the nature of the sheep to wander away. It's in our nature to wander away from safety or to walk away from the fold. We've seen it here in the church today where there are people who wander off that are in the church. There are people who are not as grounded. There are people who are having struggles and they wander off. And you have others who shut themselves out from the fold, right? And in the fold is where you get the restoration and the love that you need in that process, right? So like sheep, we have wandered into the wilderness of sin. So there's restoration in this. In Isaiah 53 and verse 6, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all of us. We ask Jesus to restore our souls. So we must, in order for that to happen, we must believe that he has died for our sins and that he rose to give us new life. So when we go on our own way and we turn away from God, then the other shepherds of our lives come in and take over. So listen, either it's really this simple. Either we're being shepherded by God or we're being shepherded by something else. You are being led by something else. You are following something else. So if you're not following Jesus, the question is, who am I following? Who is my influence that will lead me wherever I'm going? So a lot of us are being led by social media. That's your shepherd. a lot of us are being led by what's going on in the government and in the news. We're led by that. We're not led by the word of God. We're not led by the shepherd. We're not led by prayer. We're not led by having a personal relationship with God. We're not led by having a personal relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're led by other things that shepherd us. And when it comes in, it leads us away from the good shepherd. We can all agree that there can be good shepherds and bad shepherds, correct? So the question is, what shepherd are you following? If it ain't a good shepherd, you need to change course. You need to get rid of that shepherd and get with the good shepherd. But what that is called simply is a choice. I need for you to understand that choosing the good shepherd is a choice. And we wander away from God when we make a choice to go with other shepherds. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25, it says, "For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul." See, there's a choice again. You have returned. You have come back to the shepherd, right? And how can a lost sheep be restored to the fold? Well, simply through repentance and faith. So if you are a Christian and you've been struggling and you've walked away from the fold, you have to set your pride aside, humble yourselves, repent of your sins, and have the faith to know that God is just to forgive you. The word repent means that we stop going our own way when we return to the shepherd. That's what that means. So when you say turn away from, I'm turning away from my own ideas. I'm turning away from that terrible attitude that I decide. I'm turning away from the flesh that I'm battling with every day with my inner spirit. I'm turning away from those things and returning to the good shepherd. And see, only the shepherd can restore our souls from the ravages of sin. That's the only one. And only he can make us right with God again. So this restoration that he gives us is forgiveness of sin and peace with God. This is what this is being said. This is the reason Jesus came to earth. And I want you to think about this. Have you ever been in a situation in your life and you just feel like you have destroyed it all? I have made such a mistake. I just don't know how I'm going to put this back together. Well, I want you to remember something. I don't think it's a coincidence that Jesus was a carpenter. I don't think it was a coincidence the fact that he was a master carpenter and he was good with fixing things. And what I'm saying to you is the good shepherd, when you are broken because he is a master craftsman, whenever you break down, whenever you are broken, he is the one who can rebuild you again. He is the one who can fix the problems in your life. Every leak, every creak, every crack, everything that's not working, when the pilot goes out, when your flame is out, he is the carpenter, the one who is good with his hands, the one who created you in his own image, can fix you, rebuild you, repair you, restore you back to the fold. And how can we walk in the paths of righteousness, right? So we get restored and we walk in the path of righteousness. And it seems too hard when you say walk in the path of righteousness. But we do so by following the good shepherd. I mean, it's really simple. I understand that life is hard, but it's really simple. It is by Christ's death that we are saved from our sins. But it is his resurrection that enables us to walk in the path of righteousness. Over in Hebrews chapter 13, looking at verses 20 through 21. That's Hebrews chapter 13, 20 through 21. "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that the great shepherd of the sheep, though the blood of the everlasting covenant make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So the good shepherd leads us in the path of righteousness. However, he can only do that after he restores our soul. So you got to make it up in your mind that I need some restoration. I need my soul to be restored. Restore my spirit. Restore my mind. Reset it all. Set me on the path of righteousness. But for me to get there, I have to humble myself and do so. So once we restored our soul and started focusing back on what it is that we need to do, it is how we get on the path. Now, does this mean that everyone will be saved by Christ's death? No. John 10, 26 through 28, it says, "You do not believe because you are not my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Jesus offers salvation to all, but many won't believe in him. Many will say he's not real. He's a made up story. I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe in these words as being stated. There are things that are left out in the Bible, and then this says this, and I believe, and all of these things. But I'm here to tell you, based on the Word of God, Jesus offers salvation to all that believe in him, and only those that believe that Jesus died for their remission of sins will be saved. So my question is, has your soul been restored? Have you believed in the Good Shepherd this morning? If not, I think it is time for you to take heed. Next, I want to cover the reassurance. In Psalms 23, verse 4, it says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." See, we can face anything when we start making the journey with the shepherd. Even death, we don't have to be afraid. And I think for many Christians that are struggling, God is telling us he's with you. He's saying, don't give up. No matter how hard or how impossible it may be, how impossible the task may seem. That's what Satan wants. He wants you to give up. He wants you to start doubting, right? He wants to sow the seed of doubt in your heart for you not to believe that you can be reassured. I heard traveling through the mountains, passing, going through Tibet, I heard you need a guide. And often, because the weather closes in fast, and it may be a snowstorm that comes upon you that you're not even aware of, and before you know it, you can't see where you're going. But a guide can get you through because he knows the way. Because most people say, "Well, I don't need no guide. I can figure this out. I mean, we're just walking, just going through some mountains in here. Now I can find my way." But oftentimes we need somebody who has journeyed the pathway many times before. And that is what the Good Shepherd is and has done for us. He is the only one to journey through death and come out victorious. Christ Jesus conquered sin, hell, and the grave. He knows the way. He will personally lead you home as one of his sheep, if you allow him to be your shepherd. Really quickly, I want to give you this fact that I learned. When it says here, "I will feel no evil, for you are with me. You are my rod and your staff, they comfort me." Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So when I was looking at it, when you think about a rod, and to make it easy, so a rod was kind of like what I guess we would use as a walking stick today, right? I.e. bat, right? That's the bat, the club, right? That you carry with you just in case a wild dog or some attack you. You got your rod. So the rod was used for that very thing to keep the outside protected, to keep those things that were evil, those things that were lurking, prowling, trying to get a hold of the sheep. The rod was there to protect them from evil. And then you have your staff. The staff is a smaller stick, you know, but it got the little hook, looked like a candy cane, got the little hook on it, right? So what I learned is that sometimes sheep, they're overeat because they're not only dumb, but they're gluttonous. So sheep will eat and eat and eat and don't stop. And what ends up happening is they get so full, they end up falling over and their legs would be up in the air just like this. Or their coat will get so heavy because it hadn't been shaved, they'll fall over the same way. Well, the staff is used to take it, to take that hook, give it a little turn, and to flip it back on the right side. So two things that he's talking about here is the rod, it protects the outside. I'm going to protect from all the things that are trying to get to you. But the staff, I'm going to help you on the inside. See, all the things that you're consuming that makes you overweighted with sin, I'm going to use my staff to get you right back on your feet. So when you're down on your back, I'm going to use my staff to help you get back into the fold. I'm going to help you understand that you don't have to lay and waddle at all these things that you've been consuming from the outside. But the fact that I'm your rod and your staff, when you're down, I'm going to use it to help you get right back up to walk again with me. Now, I don't know about you, but that ought to be encouraging. That's why they comfort me. They comfort me because I got protection from the outside and on the inside. And how can we have assurance that when we're facing death, or if we understand that if you follow somebody who knows the way, then you'll probably get to the destination. But if you're following somebody who don't know the way, then that means you both are lost. Some have experienced personally or have heard of people on their deathbeds seemingly to speak to loved ones. I don't know if you ever heard of this phenomenon. You know, when you start preparing sermons, you start researching stuff, you find out little nuggets. But there's a thing that they say that when people on their deathbed, loved ones have already gone before them, they speak into them. They call this the deathbed phenomenon. Here's what I say. Whatever's happening at this point won't even matter who you see. Because I'm here to tell you, it's not about who you see. It's about who you know. And it is my prayer that all of us have that personal relationship with the Good Shepherd. And if we've been faithful on this earth, we will receive a glorious, glorious welcome home. The assurance for us is this, that we can be at peace when our time comes because we know the Good Shepherd. I want to ask you this morning, do you have assurance? Are you assured, or does death frighten you, or the coming of Christ frightens you? Because if it does, then that's okay. That's a good thing. Hopefully it will frighten you right into his arms. Hopefully it will scare you enough where you want to have a personal relationship with him. And finally, my last point is the reward. The reward. In Psalms 23, 5 and 6, it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Listen, those who belong to God, the Good Shepherd, will receive a lavish welcome when they arrive home. The table here speaks of feasting and fellowship, right? And this will continue forever and ever. Right? God's sheep will never leave his house again. And I don't know about you, but I'm encouraged about that because verse 6 summarizes, well, the life of those who follow the Good Shepherd, right? Goodness and mercy will follow them all the days of their lives. You got a relationship with the Good Shepherd. Goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. I'll say it again. When you have a personal relationship. See, but we keep trying to figure out what's the key to success in this on this time side of life. Where's the key to me having a peace of mind? Where's the key to me just being able to be at peace with myself when I'm living in this world? Well, when you follow the Good Shepherd, mercy and goodness will follow you all the days of your life. Perhaps you know the 23rd Psalm, you know, like the entertainer. But again, the question is, do you know the shepherd? Do you have a personal relationship with him? Let me tell you something. While you're on this earth, he says, you know, I think about this, when you go to dinner and you're out at a table, you're typically out with people that you love, right? And people that you know that you enjoy spending time with, right? But he says here, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In the presence of my enemies. So what that means is you prepare a table for me regardless of the fact it's for me. Nothing can change that. And that means that I'm going to have enemies around me. So what that means is I got to still stay close to the shepherd. And I think a lot of times we get out of that, sticking close to the shepherd, because only those who know the shepherd will get to enjoy the benefits of what Psalm is talking about. Can you honestly say the Lord is your shepherd? Can you honestly say that? Listen, the promise of God's provisions, sins being forgiven, him being a constant companion to us, and a home in heaven that applies to those of us who know and follow the good shepherd. I want you to be encouraged this morning that no matter what you're doing, when you get a chance, you read Psalm and read it in this manner to know that while you're here and if you're being shepherded by the good shepherd, goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. I mean, you could be in the valley in the shadow of death, and you don't have to fear nothing. You don't have to fear evil. You understand that the rod and the staff, they comfort me. You understand these things by looking at the psalmist, right? And knowing what he was talking about, that on this time side of life, we can have all of these things now, living, breathing. We can have that personal relationship which ensures us, if we're faithful, to get to heaven and spend eternity with him forever. John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The shepherd has laid down his life for us. He's given us an opportunity of everlasting life. He's given you an opportunity to change your course of your eternal destination. What we all deserve, he has changed that by dying on the cross for our sins. So he's given us an opportunity. So if you're here this morning and you desire to put Christ on in baptism, do not hesitate. Do not wait. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian and you've been struggling, you've been battling, you have not been following the good shepherd, you have left the fold, whatever the case may be, if you need prayer, make your request known. Listen, saints, we won't know what's going on with you if you keep it to yourself. It does no good to walk out and say, man, I should have stood up. Man, I should have said I needed prayer. Man, I should have acknowledged the fact that I need the help of my brothers and sisters. Don't wait. We're not promised. We're not promised tomorrow. Let me tell you something. It amazes me that we think, right, that when we leave the house, that we're absolutely coming back. I don't know many people who leave the house and think to themselves, you know what, today I'm probably not going to make it back. I'm here to tell you that I was talking to Dee the other day, and when you hear about people dying sometimes and how they die, I can rest assured that person didn't wake up that morning thinking about that. When I saw that tragic accident where that lady ran through the stoplight at 91 miles per hour, killing a baby, killing a mother who had was with child and another man, I'm sure that they woke up that morning not thinking they was going to get hit by a car going 91 miles per hour. So what I'm saying is the greatest privilege that we have is the opportunity that is set before us, and that's now. So please don't wait. Don't hesitate. If your heart is pricked, if it's being moved, if you feel like you want to move out or step out, just step out halfway. I'll come get you. I'll walk with you. But don't allow your fear or your pride to get in the way of you making things right and following the good shepherd. So if the lesson applies to you this morning, please come now as together we stand and together we sing.